pals o' mine. You know when you laugh at something you've read or heard and it's so wrong, but it's so funny? Like this three-legged dog joke. What do you call it when you throw a three-legged dog into the water? A skip, if you throw it just right. You feel terrible laughing at it, but it's funny. That's how I felt when I read my fellow iPinion Syndicate columnist Gary Huerta's post on Facebook the other day. Hosting a scavenger hunt this weekend. Partial list includes menu from El Coyote Restaurant, Bible from a Motel 6, Malaysia Flight 370. Again, I know it's wrong, but it's funny. It's crazy that they still have not been able to locate it. Crazy. This show is brought to you by Frogstone Media, making beautiful websites that make you money. Frogstonemedia.com. I'm one of those people who maintains an extensive mental catalog of songs. I love singing karaoke and just singing around a campfire. It's not that I'm extraordinarily talented, I just enjoy it. Meeting Miss Delta, who experiences that same joy, was a treat. At age 65, she is an actual entertainer and a philosopher and open to whatever comes next. I sat down with her outside of a weekday senior dance held by the local city park.
It's 2:45.
And no one in the place except you and me. So sad, my Joe, I got a little story you ought to know. We're drinking, my friends, to the end of a brief episode. Making one for my baby and one more for the road.
I want you to meet Miss Delta. How many years have you been on this planet?
Well, when you say 65, you think I'd be talking like this. I'm 65 years old. Yeah, but
I'm 65 years old. I'm sexy. I'm intelligent. I'm invaluable. And I'm experienced and a lot of fields of life experience. And I'm proud to be 65.
And I don't look like Tweety Bird's grandmother.
Not even close.
Thank you.
Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Oakland, California, first generation California. My ethnicity is a Native American, Black American, and I also have Jewish ancestry. Mazel tov.
Nice mixed bag. Mm-hmm. What tribes?
Choctaw, Cherokee, Seminole. I'm a Golden Age dancer. That means oldie but goodie. Traditional. I'm also an elder. And in the Indian community, you get respect for being an elder, life experience. And the position of an elder with age is to pass on to tradition. If you go to a powwow, you enter the arena, grand entry. And the circle represent days, weeks, months, years, and season. And when you become an elder, golden age, you make a grand entry into the arena. You go around the circle and you stand at the gate. You stand at the gate. It's a very honored position. You can no longer go full circle. And you stand at the gate because your duties as an elder and responsibility is to pass on tradition, to guard the arena, to protect, to reprove. And as an honored position. Being 65, I'm an elder, and I do traditional indigenous dances.
Oh, nice. Anywhere we can see it?
Well, last week we were at Marysville, but look on the internet and you'll see where we're going to have a powwow throughout California and also other states.
So you travel with it?
Yeah, I go to powwows all the way from Redding as far as Patterson, California, and sometimes I go to Nevada.
Must be fun. Probably see the same folks a lot.
But you see people from all over the country. You know, it's a spiritual thing. It's a social thing. And most people, when they think of Indians, we're not Indians. We're indigenous people. And what we wear is not a costume. It's regalia. Regalia mean a way of life. with tradition. And dancing in a circle is medicine. It's medicine. Do music, to dance, it's curing, and it's good medicine. So that's why I dance.
I concur. Did you go to dances in high school?
Well, in high school, many, many years ago.
Many moons.
Yes. This class of 67, I went to dances, but I never had a boyfriend. I was one of those wallflowers that didn't want to be. So I would go to dances, but I never had a date.
Well, I didn't either, so you're not the Lone Ranger.
Okay, and no chemo savvy with that. That's a little joke.
Yeah, I got it. So what did you do for fun, you and your friends?
When I was in high school?
Yeah. What was Oakland during that time?
Oakland at that time, I grew up in the Fruitvale Diamond District. It was predominantly Italian, Portuguese, Caucasian, very few blacks, very few Hispanics. In Asian, and it was a very conservative community. We even had, curfew. You knew your neighbors. It was well manicured with gardens and flowers, and everybody looked out for everybody.
Nice.
And it was a good growing experience. I went to Hamilton, junior high school, but elementary school, I went to Hawthorne, then Hamilton, and then Fremont High. And then from there, I went to Merritt College, San Francisco State, Cal State at Hayward, and the University of California.
So what did you major in?
Majored in music and art and elementary education.
By strange coincidence, music.
Oh, yes, music. And also, it's funny. Just, you might think I'm Forrest Gump. When I was at Merritt College, Black Panther movement started. When I was at Merritt College, Chicano movement started. When I was at San Francisco State, women's liberation started. When I was at the University of California, with protest, United States government had U.S. Army camped out at the Berkeley Pier because of the protests. Wasn't really rioting, but it was a lot of controversial things going on, from women's rights to Chicano's rights to black rights to everybody's rights, because we are American and we believe in this country. And my generation is the first generation that understood how the system worked. We were proud to be Americans, but at that time, too, being educated how things, the structure works from the top to the bottom, we were the first generation that was educated and wanted to see changes that were good for all people, not just certain ethnic groups, women. Our motives were pure, but sometimes when you have more pure motives, sometimes people in power put past bad meanings to your motive. When you talk about Angela Davis, Stokely Carmichael, Cesar Chavez, I had the life experience of being there, to knowing that was going on, being in a part of trying to seek my education and seeing some of the outcomes of what went on. So I have I'm a living book of what really happened and what
first-hand
really went
experience.
On. Yes.
You were there.
Yes.
You didn't read about it.
No, I was there. I was there. So I'm the prophet of the village.
Nice.
Not the village idiot. But sometimes you might think
that needs to be covered as well.
So. Okay. I know a lot about idiots. The older I get, the more, it's weird. When you grow up, when you're young, you know everything. But growing older is a humbling experience, very humbling.
So what were the individuals in your life that really influenced you? I mean, politics aside, family, friends that you would see frequently, that you had a tendency to follow their example or listen to their words more than you might others?
When I really think about it, when I view back on my life, it was people that weren't educated in the higher institution of life. They didn't, some of them couldn't even read. But they had life and experience, they had spirituality, they had foresight, and they would tell me things, and at that time, it was like they were speaking this foreign language. I remember this guy by the name of Tony, who could read people. And at the time, I wasn't the person I am now. I was naive, I was vulnerable, I was young, and he would tell me things, and some of the things that he would tell me was harsh reality of life. And one of the things I remember that he says, You're saying yes. Uh-huh. You understand. He says, by the time you understand what I'm saying and go through life, and then you know we can have a conversation and I'll be gone. It was Tony. Tony was illiterate. He was psychological, emotionally, physically abused. He was illiterate, but he wasn't illiterate. He knew people. He was generous. He was kind.
He had an inherent wisdom.
He was the fool on the hill. And the fool on the hill, like the Beatles' son, sees the sun rise, sees the sun goes down. He looks down and people are looking up, but he sees everything. And I've learned with life, it's not always the people with the money, the power, the education. It's the people that are for real, simple. And the loneliness at the top when you're there because you want to bring people up, but they want to bring you down. That's the loneliness of the top. It's not about money. It's not about power. It's not about education. Life experience and knowing what you know without knowing, because it's a spiritual thing. And not everybody understands it.
When was the last time you saw him? How old were you?
I was 55. He's deceased. That was the greatest influence of my life. Sometimes things of value, until you find out about them or know about them, or part of the circle where you're at, do you discover what's valuable and what's not valuable. The things that are important, the things that are not important. Tony Lopes, third grade education. And I think when he was 61, he learned how to read. And he was so happy. He was so happy. And he wasn't, even without having the ability to read, he was highly intelligent. And when you look at most people that made old money, or even left, but they formed institutions, corporations, but they had smarts. They had smart, common sense, mother wit, and work ethic.
Well, that's what's called inherent wisdom, inherent intelligence.
I would agree with you.
So, to Tony.
To Tony.
How lucky were you to know him?
Yeah, Tony.
So what did you get out of college besides the obvious book smarts? Sometimes you learn about yourself in the college days as well, what you're capable of that maybe you didn't know of before. Or other perspectives.
I got a husband out of it. Okay. I got a chance to meet people that were in my class that became political leaders, like Willie Brown, Angela Davis, Stokely Carmichael, Ellis something Harris that became the mayor of Oakland, Cesar Chavez. At that time, I wasn't a radical. I just was, I guess you would say, a flower child, but just wanted peace, harmony, unity with everybody. And at the time, I was like Alice in Wonderland, like looking up at the caterpillar saying, and the caterpillar looking down at me and say, who are you? And at that time, I really didn't know who I was, but I know now.
And that is?
I'm a kaleidoscope, moving and changing and never the same. And with that, standing at the gate, not too much time to wait, knowing the value of life, the value of all people have something to bring to the table, and it's not all those material things. And then knowing things about a person without knowing, and life experience, when you get life experience, a person has to go through life to understand, but some of us don't have all the same life experience. But whatever you get out of life, to pass it on, and knowing that life is not a dress rehearsal, we're all ad-libbing.
So meanwhile, you were having some fun.
Yes.
What fun pursuits?
My entertainment career.
So tell me about that. I know you sing, okay. Obviously.
Oh, yes, I sing. When I was 19, I did my first professional gig at the Embarcadero USO.
And what did you sing or dance? Do you remember?
I sang songs that were popular in 67 in front of a live audience, but I got paid for doing it. I also later auditioned for the Doodle Time Pipers, and I passed the audition, and the Doodle Time Pipers was a college student that sang American songs, and they were, how would you say, clean cut. But before I went to Bimble's 365 Club in San Francisco, audition, had a first audition, a second audition, a third audition, passed it. And I was waiting for a letter to be sent to go on the show and start rehearsing, and the show was canceled.
Oh.
So I was singing occasionally. Then when I went to college, I met my husband, my ex-husband. That man was poison.
I like to say that because it's funny. Ex.
I had a daughter, and I didn't pursue my career. And then 11 years ago, we got a separation, and that lasted for 3, and I've been divorced. I'm single out there, guys.
Hello.
I have a daughter, Zorana. She lives in Las Vegas. She's an actress, a makeup artist. And I found within myself that once I got separated, I opened up for B.B. King.
Really?
I also performed with Little Richard. Oh. I performed in Branson, Missouri. I performed in Las Vegas.
Holy moly.
I was catching up.
Yeah, sounds like
for
it.
Times that I was at home with a broom in my hand, going out of the house, pretending I was on stage. And once I separated, I even do Tina Turner.
I can see that. I do
Mae West. Oh, I'm just a black woman trapped in a white woman's body. Yeah. I like blossom, and I was like Mercury. Zip, 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 zip. Singing and dancing. Not worrying about age. Not worried about body. Doing music. I was successful. I'm with the Dixieland Jazz Association. And I also perform at Clyde's Jazz Festival. I was a featured entertainer. I performed at some of the casinos. El Dorado, Kansas. I've done so many things that I didn't use the age of 55 when my journey began again. I didn't look at age. I didn't look at race. I didn't look at being a woman. I just got out there and did it. And in it's a shame that a lot of times people, they reach a certain age and they forget about their dreams. And I would say, I don't dream with my eyes closed. I dream with my eyes open. And who would never think that a woman at the age of 60-something that was a housewife, a homemaker, would ever open up for a legend like B.B. King at the Fox Theater 6 years ago with the Cradle of Sound, would open up for a legend like B.B. King. And me, being a featured artist, I opened up with the Mardi Gras Parade. I did big band, jazz, and rock and roll. I regularly perform every second Saturday at the Dixieland Jazz. No, the second Sunday at the Dante's Club. I do Dixieland singing, and I do standards. And my heart is in music and in dance and in art. And I'm one of these people, sometimes when you're an artist, you don't know what you have and what somebody does that to you and say, hey. And once you come into your own, it clicks. And not all of us have the same talent, but all of us have that some specialness about the, it has to be triggered, or a person have to discover it within their self. And it begins with self. And with self, you have to give yourself permission to come into yourself and bring it out in abundance as if you were a horn of plenty. It's the variety. And somebody has that something.
Everybody has a natural gift. Sometimes it's a gift.
But a person has to discover it, or sometimes they have to be helped to discover it.
Well, that's my point. Society, media always promotes gifts as athletic, arts, all the obvious, but sometimes a gift is friendship. Not everyone knows how to be a friend or to organize.
Mm-hmm. So when you bring something to the table, it's not always material. Sometimes right. It's laughter, sometimes it's song, sometimes it's an appetite, but it's something that contributes. And we, as people, we have to contribute, not being tight-fisted.
I'll tell some people when they express doubts that they have anything to contribute. And I'll tell them, I said, you ask your friends what you do, who you are, that they wish they were. Because sometimes we aren't aware of what we're doing.
Just like, you know, remember I mentioned my friend Tony?
Mm-hmm.
He's the first person that told me I was an artist. I didn't know it. You have to discover who you are and who you want to be, and you have to give yourself what you need and give yourself permission, and you have to look at yourself in the mirror And you have to love yourself and look into your eyes and love yourself. That's part of my discovery on my journey. Not being aware of who I am, what I am about, just giving it all out. But you have to reflect on yourself. And when you reflect on yourself, that inner self comes out. And that's the power of what it's about. And I'm 65, and I'm here, and I'm proud of me.
So anything on your plate to learn that you haven't yet?
As you get older, there's so much you discover you don't know. And there's like things to discover in tasting and learning. I'm still here. I'm 65. I don't know how much time, but time is so valuable, and learning is endless.
But what's piqued your interest recently?
Learning how to play golf. That's one of my goals.
Okay, that's doable.
I recently became a member of the Sacramento Art Center, taking classes in watercolor. I found out with any form of art, it keeps you company. Time go by fast. And with art, it's amazing that you look at a person and you don't know who they are. And then when you see the expression of art or beauty, you didn't even know that was in that person. So it's going to be amazing to see what's going to come out of me. But art is a thing that nobody is to judge what is beauty. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And just because you like apple pie, that doesn't mean that berry pie is not good either, but it's just an individual thing. A person has their own sense of what's beautiful to them. But then too, with seeing a variety, you've discovered something that you like even more that you didn't even know exists. So
variety truly is the spice of life.
Yes. And just like when you see nature and flowers, nature with fish, the variety within the variety, butterflies, dragonflies, mountains, the amazement of our creator being with abundance but variety. I'll do Tina Turner.
Why do people make up? Well, turn around and break up is all I see. You make me feel so brand new. Let me be the one you come running to.
Just a little bit of Tina. Tina, I got
awesome.
Bit by Tina.
Yeah. Awesome.
And oh, I want to do Tweety Bird's grandmother.
Okay.
I love Warner Brothers cartoons.
How can you not?
Okay. When I was a young girl, I thought 50 was old. This is my impression of 50 when I was a young girl.
Okay.
Now, Sir Lester, I'm going to the store. You leave that bird alone, and I'll be right back.
You know Tweety Bird.
Of course.
Sylvester, and I call the lady with the long dress with the lace collar, the white hair with the bun. That's Tweety Bird's mother. And I used to feel so sorry for the cat because Tweety Bird was 95% head.
It's true.
Anorexic body. Sylvester was just playing with the bird. But the bird meant business. So I felt sorry for Sylvester, you know. So I'm animated. But I'm real. I think what makes me whole as a person, being a person that's from diversity, ethnicity-wise, but the exposure of culture, music, dance, a variety. And like a song says, there's places to go, there's things to do. I got a lot of living to do. Places to go, people to meet, things to do, waiting there for me and you. Life's a ball, if only you know it. Got a lot of living to do.
If you've got musical skills and are interested in lending them for a worthy cause or two, check out Musicians for a Cause. They create music-based campaigns for nonprofits, writing songs to support organizations for autism, animal welfare, homelessness, developmental disabilities, Alzheimer's disease, the elderly, Meals on Wheels, cancer, to help raise awareness and funds. Visit m4ac.org. For this week's National Park Highlight and my ongoing celebration of this year's 150th anniversary of the National Park System, I'm heading over to the upper peninsula of Lake Superior, Calumet, which is home to Keweenaw National Historic Park, which became part of the National Park System in 1992. It was established to help preserve resources and stories of the former copper mining community. Unlike most national parks, there are no entrance gates or campgrounds. In fact, most of the park land is privately owned. There are selected parcels of land and buildings owned by the park, however, which the public may visit. On Christmas Eve, 1913, hundreds of mining families had gathered at the Italian Hall to celebrate the holiday. The only access to the second floor hall was a steep stairway. When a shout of "Fire!" broke out, so did panic. The poorly marked fire escape could only be reached by climbing out of the windows, making the stairway the only exit option. 73 people died in the subsequent stampede, 59 of whom were children. Adding to the tragedy is the fact that there was, in fact, no fire. The following year, Woody Guthrie recorded and released his song, 1913 Massacre. Due to bitter mining disputes during the time of this tragedy, Woody Guthrie and the union claimed it was deliberately caused by a member of the mining company. You can tour now closed mines and visit the museum. Although campgrounds aren't available, there are plenty of outdoor activities from which to choose. After all, you've got the Great Lake Superior. You may already know about the website McPhee, but in case you don't, I think it's wonderful because I love goofy, quirky stuff. A few examples of their wares. Sigmund Freud action figure, horse masks, and a zombie horse mask. Why should people get all the zombie fun? Parking space goddess, macaroni and cheese air freshener, inflatable beard of bees. Well, you get the idea. That's McPhee, McPhee.com. Do something different. Randomly select a city somewhere around the country and read its paper to gain insight into that community and expand your awareness.